Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture, and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Hello and welcome to a special extra, Oh God What Now? I'm Jacob Jarvis. On Thursday, local elections were held across the UK with people voting for such prestigious candidates as Count Binface and Susan Hall. It always feels strange that Binface isn't the most notable joke candidate this year. Joining me to talk through what we know about the results so far is Jam Tomorrow host and author of The Future of Trust, Roz Taylor. Hi, Roz.
Hello, Jarv.
Roz, the headlines look pretty bad for Sunak, and apparently, according to some outlets, it's spelling apocalypse for the Tories, which seems like they say that a lot. You know, how many signs of apocalypse do they need? And is it quite as apocalyptic as perhaps is being suggested?
No, it's not apocalyptic. I mean, the Tories still have control of some councils. It's very, very bad. It's a really, really grim night.
Grim night if you're a Tory.
Yes. But it's really not about the signs at this point. If Rishi Sunak was watching for signs, he'd have called the election many months ago. What it's about is minimising the punishment inflicted on the Tories at the general election and making sure the Tories are still a viable opposition. And Sunak still hopes something will come along that can do that between now and November. He, I think, is not yet ready to throw in the towel on the basis that it can only get worse. He thinks it can only get better.
Perhaps some variety of minor apocalypse might be good for them then. There's a quake situation where they can take charge and things really can't get any worse. Who knows? As we speak then, obviously results are still trickling in. What do we know about what's confirmed and what does the overall outlook look like a little bit more specifically?
Well, perhaps the biggest so far and the most important is Blackpool South, which was a by-election, unlike all the other contests yesterday. It wasn't a local or mayoral or police candidate election. So Labour was always likely to win that seat back from the Conservatives, which they did, but they did it with a huge swing. And the Tories, importantly, were almost beaten to second place by Reform. It's important that they were almost beaten because if they had been beaten to second place by Reform, Rishi Sunak would be in a still worse place than he is now. In terms of councils, we've only had just over, I think, about a third the results as I speak to you. But at the moment, they're on a trend of losing over half their seats so far. That said, there are quite a lot of councils that have not changed hands. Places like Portsmouth, Peterborough, still no overall control. The Tories held on to Broxbourne as well. And then there are the results for the police commissioners. Two out of three declared so far have been lost by the Tories, but they managed to hold one in Lincolnshire. The only real bright spot for the Conservatives today is the Tees Valley mayoralty. This was the first one to declare, and Ben Houchen, as had been widely expected, managed to hold on to it.
So no major kind of surprises or upsets particularly, but you know, you mentioned that Reform came quite close there. It was around 100 votes, wasn't it? But also the Greens have done surprisingly well, haven't they?
Yeah, the Greens have done well, and they've done especially well in areas with a high Muslim population. Their vote is up, I think, 17.3% there, while Labour's is down 14.4%. And what that tells us, really, is that people are not necessarily voting Green because they are dead keen on net zero. They are voting Green because they are angry about Labour's policy on Gaza. And it seems that Labour lost control of Oldham Council because of that, which is very bad news for them. It will be interesting to see whether this trend continues in a general election where the result is more consequential and people may be inclined to make less of a protest vote and return to the Labour Party. They might decide, on the other hand, that Labour are shoo-in and vote Green again. That's why there is actually an argument that says Labour didn't actually want to do too well today because they didn't want to forge too much complacency. But the Greens need to be careful. They need to note that a lot of people voting for them, who voted for them yesterday, are not necessarily hugely enthusiastic about their agenda.
Is that a strange thing, though, then, Roz, that some of the outlets calling this all apocalyptic are left-leaning, but Keir Starmer, I suppose, in terms of the support he wants, is a little bit of measured pessimism still. He isn't someone who wants to get super excited, is he?
No, he definitely doesn't want to induce any complacency at all in the party. And that works as well in terms of the media, because once the media sense that something is absolutely inevitable, they will start pouncing even more on Labour than they're already doing. And he doesn't really want that either. So it's not terribly helpful for Labour to have an absolutely startling, you know, everything going their way, which was never going to happen anyway. It's not a narrative that he wants to cultivate. He wants a sense of uncertainty and excitement over the general election in order to get people out to vote.
I'm sure he can make up some sort of football metaphor at some point to suggest what he wants. Who knows what he'll say. On other things that are starting to trickle in, when will we know what we don't know?
Well, tomorrow we will know all the mayoral results, I think, by the end of the day. Later today, we should have the East Midlands, the North East, Yorkshire mayoralty as well, all the others, including Birmingham, the West Midlands, which is very important to the Conservatives, will come in then. It looks as though the Gaza issue may have eroded the Labour vote in the West Midlands too. At least that's what Labour themselves are saying. They are playing down their chances of winning that mayoralty from Andy Street.
On the topic of mayoralties, obviously in the intro I mentioned Susan Hall. Do we have any indication around the feeling in London? I did see quite a baffling tweet which suggested there was a Tory staffer, who I have no idea who they are, suggesting that maybe they've posed the biggest upset ever. But I don't think that is the common thought, is it?
Yeah, I'd very much eat my hat if I had one, if Labour didn't win the mayoralty in London. But it won't be as comprehensive a victory as Sadiq Khan would like, and it certainly isn't the one that he should have had, given the quality of Susan Hall as a candidate. I think the suggestions that were being circulated earlier were because there's apparently been a lot of postal voting in outer London. It is thought that Susan Hall has a good chance of getting postal votes better than any other candidate, and that's why she might get a bit of a lift. No, I mean, it's in the position where it would be a shock if she wasn't 15 to 20 points behind, if she managed to improve on that. That, I think, the Conservatives would almost see as good news, which tells you how bad things are looking for them. But then they did pick a startlingly poor quality candidate.
Yeah, I'm going to go tell Andrew Harrison to get some Oh God What Now hats made, just in case we do need to eat a few.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
So Sunak and Starmer, are they reacting whatsoever at the moment, or are they both keeping their powder dry? I mean, I know with Sunak, there was some suggestion that it wouldn't even be confirmed where or when or how he voted yesterday. People were asking that. So are they both keeping shtum?
I did hear that he voted by post, which will make sense if he needed to be in London that day rather than in Richmond, where he lives in Yorkshire. Sunak did come out quite recently. He said he was disappointed. That was pretty much inevitable. He pointed that the Labour hadn't won Harlow and they were really hoping to win Harlow, although there is a degree of ambiguity over Harlow and whether it's no overall control or not at the moment. Keir Starmer is very pleased about Blackpool South, as you would expect. He was asked about Oldham and whether the party was losing support because of Gaza, and he kind of avoided the question a little bit and said that he hoped he could win those voters back. But they are, yes, holding on to see how the mayoral contests go, because that's where most of the uncertainty is now.
Is Sunak at this point now a complete sitting duck for any of the people in the party who all say they don't want to be leader, but obviously do want to be leader, to come out of the woodwork?
No, he's not. I don't think this is going to change anything. The Tories know how bad it would look to have a fourth PM in this parliamentary term, a fourth PM who won't even have the time to change anything before the next general election. I don't think, particularly having held on to Tees Valley, there is any serious appetite for a leadership challenge at all. And I will eat another hat, if you can obtain one, if by Monday morning that there is any kind of leadership contest. I just don't think it's going to happen.
Not even Penny Mordaunt, Russ.
No, Penny Mordaunt would do well to bide her time, in my view.
Yeah. Finally, on issues surrounding all of this, there clearly were problems around voter ID this time out. Boris Johnson even had to go find some ID because his floppy hair and dishevelment didn't carry off as official enough. Does that feel like it was maybe a bit of a stunt of him just so desperately wanting to get into the narrative? I feel a bit silly for talking about him, if so. But then generally, more widely, voter ID just didn't go down well, did it?
I don't think it did, although I have to be mindful of the fact that my social media feed generally gives me stuff that I will agree with. And that meant that there were lots of things circulating about people having been denied their vote, because the algorithm knows perfectly that, well, that's what I want to hear. If we look at what the head of the Electoral Commission was saying today, he said there hadn't actually been many problems with it. The big caveat to that is that there will have been people who won't even have gone to the polling station because they didn't have the right voter ID and couldn't be bothered to sort it out before and thought, oh, I'm not going to bother going along and getting turned away. And we don't know how many of those there were. And we won't know, because turnout is generally pretty low in local elections anyway, and it's going to be really, really hard to tell how many people just were put off even trying to vote. In terms of Johnson himself, I must admit I laughed out loud when I heard this story yesterday. I think it's genuine carelessness, actually, because for most of us, voting is the biggest thing that we do in a democracy. It feels really meaningful. For Johnson, it's just a sideshow. It's just performative. Voting doesn't really matter to him. And when it doesn't matter, you don't really pay attention to the laws that you've passed about it. As we know, Boris Johnson is quite good at breaking his own laws. He's a master of it. What I was really relieved about was that the electoral staff didn't do what they could have done. They could have looked up and seen Boris Johnson and said, oh, yes, of course, Mr. Johnson, don't worry, you just go ahead and vote. They didn't do that. They insisted that he needed to go back and get his ID. And that, to me, was a glimmer of hope that despite this stupid law, which is designed, was always designed to stop younger people in particular and Labour voters, especially taking part in the elections, that there are people in polling stations who are upholding the law in a way that is at least equal to everybody. That was good news.
Yeah, I would agree with you that it's either monumental carelessness or just monumental entitlement, because clearly he just passed a lot of laws that he didn't think would negatively impact him or people like him. So of course he didn't think he had to think about that in any way, shape or form. I'm not going to ask you about Sunak again, because you've made clear you don't think there's going to be the sort of fighting and infighting. Richard Holden says that he thinks Sunak will lead the party into the election, which, you know, you would expect the Conservative Party chairman to say no matter what. What do you think can happen now, though? Is it just, a lot of the time when we speak at the moment, Roz, it does feel like we're speaking about just this quagmire that is endless, that they will talk about calling an election, maybe they will, who knows? Is this just going to keep everything set in that sort of position and the Tories will go into spin overdrive of saying, well, you know, we didn't lose a couple of places?
Yeah, I think it will. The only difference it's likely to make, I think, is that the reform vote has not been as high as you would expect it to be. Now, reform didn't actually stand that many candidates this time, so that wasn't altogether surprising. But where they have stood, they've not done as brilliantly as Richard Tice and Nigel Farage will have been hoping. Now, you might hope, if you were an optimist, that that would mean that the Conservatives would realise that tacking to the further to the right is not the answer for them, and that's not actually the change that most people want. Will they realise that? I don't know. Also, look at Blackpool South. Yes, Reform managed to get 16.9%. 16.9% is not going to get you anywhere near a win in a first-past-the-post parliamentary election. It just isn't. If they're not getting more than that there, they actually need to be quite worried. And Nigel Farage will be looking at this and thinking, well, if I am going to stand at the next election, as I keep saying I'm planning, thinking about doing, where am I actually going to stand that I can be guaranteed to get a seat? Because he's already tried and failed to stand in Parliament many times. And I'm not sure he even wants to be the only reform candidate in Parliament anyway. No. But if he does, there isn't really anywhere where he can be sure of winning. And that will make him look like a loser.
No, yeah, I can't imagine him behaving, say, like Caroline Lucas as the sole Green Party representative and the amount of work that meant for her in Parliament. I really can't see Farage having the appetite to be that sort of MP. So,
no.
So yeah, we'll see. I'll hold out some hope that maybe Reform are as rubbish as we think they are, but I'm not going to hold out the hope that it will make the Tories stop going down ridiculously horrible routes.
Yeah, of course, the whole migrant issue is still hugely live. And the question is how they will continue to seek to exploit that. More and more crossings, another record this week, I think.
Yeah.
And now the problem of the Irish border and people moving there, which is going to be a big issue in the next week.
Roz, as always, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you.
And listeners, thank you as always. And remember, if you want to help keep us going, you can support Oh God What Now on Patreon from £3 a month. For that amount, you'll get episodes ad-free and early. Ad money is a little bit tight in the podcast universe at the moment, and political chaos is going to be keeping us very, very busy in the next few months. So your help really means more than ever. Search Oh God What Now podcast Patreon to find out how to sign up. And there's also a link in the show notes. I'm Jacob Jarvis. Thank you for listening to Oh God What Now.
Hello, I'm Dorian Linsky.
And I'm Ian Dunn.
We are the hosts of Origin Story, the podcast that unpacks the history behind the ideas, the people and the events that shape political discourse today.
And we are back for season 5.
We're kicking off with a two-parter on George Orwell, the man, the work, the ideas. We follow him from Burma to Spain, through Second World War London, to the writing of his masterpieces Animal Farm and 1984, and how their legacy is used and misused today.
That's Origin Story Season 5, coming now from anywhere you get your podcasts.
Oh God, What Now? Was written and presented by Podmaster's Managing Editor, Jacob Jarvis, with Ros Taylor. The audio producer was me, Jade Bailey, and our group editor is Andrew Harrison. Artwork is by Jim Parrott, and Oh God, What Now? Is a Podmaster's production.